get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Guess what I choose? Bitch. I'm a mogul. Used to flip them circles just to make my ovals. Swipe the card up the charge like I'm Goku. You say you the boy, but I don't hear it in your vocals. I know I'm Mighty K, but I don't know you. That's awful. I see these niggas talking about me. That shit make me flatter. I hit it from the back. It was flat. Now it's fatter. I like pussy lips, so I don't hear when niggas chatter. I make a smile flip. Now he's sadder. He's sadder. Wow.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 250 of The Reporter. Right now, we're rocking out to some Chaz French, man. Caliente, rock out with your boy.
Anything that made me feel alive is supreme. Living the day, niggas ain't focused enough. Niggas just focus on hoes, I'm with it too. I got a balance and tolerance that keep me out of my time. I'm in my bag, I'm just as guilty as you. I got a fetish for ass, I like I'm thick. All of my women petite, most of them don't know they dad. They call me Bobby, love the way I treat my daughter. They got the best in the world, they like my son. They tell me wait till we older, might fuck around, get us some pussy.
Oh, crazy bitches got the best pussy.
Yes, indeed, y'all. Like I said, man, this is episode number 250 of The Reports. It's a Tuesday night, man. It's a nice, sunny Tuesday night here in Detroit, man. Just kicking it here at the house, podcasting with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Let me turn this shit off. Yes, man, because I feel like I'm yelling. But yeah, man, it's Tuesday night, man, and we are doing some podcasting here on the Span Report Podcast Network. But yeah, man, how y'all doing? I am chilling. I just got finished shaving, and, you know, yeah, you like the Panthers hat? You like the Panthers hat? So check this out, Stephanie. Let me go ahead and highlight you real quick. See, the Panthers have always been my second favorite team, right? Always been my second favorite team. Like, and I say that because I'm a Lions fan, right? Or I was a Lions fan. I'm struggling with this. I was a Lions fan. And as a Lions fan, you got to have a second team to root for because the Lions will break your heart every fucking year. So what I decided was way back in like 95, 96 was I needed to pick up another team. And it just so happened that the Panthers, I liked the logo all the way back in 96. I like, you know what? I fucks with them. Ever from the logo, I was like, yo, that's my team. I fuck with them. And it kind of helped. Like afterwards, like they asked us like winning and shit. I'm like, oh my God, like, oh, I'm here. So yeah. I fuck with the Panthers, and I appreciate it. I'm struggling with my Lions fandom. I'm struggling with it. They picked the tight end with the ninth pick of the draft this year, and it was like with the ninth pick, the Lions have just eliminated themselves from playoff contention. So I'm not real high on my Lions right now. They've been on some bullshit, and I just don't appreciate them wasting another top 10 pick on a tight end, man. So many needs, tight end, Not necessarily. I don't feel like that was, you know, a whole like priority thing. But we on some beer and chicken shit right now, right? We talking football. But yeah, man, this is episode 250, and I gotta tell y'all how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We will play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at the show at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. You can go ahead and leave those emails. And of those emails that we get, we will read them on the show and we will respond to those emails on the show. And it's one way, another way, getting your voice heard here on the show, along with calling in while we're doing it, right? So if you're watching the show live here on Facebook, you can call in and you can chop it up with your mans while we're doing the show, right? Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, man, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. It's another way for you to put down for the show. Doesn't cost you a dime, just 2 minutes of your time to say, hey, I fucks with that shit over there. Like, real talk, that's all it takes, man. And every 5-star review gets read here live on the show. We appreciate everybody who does that. It helps the show tremendously for you guys to go ahead and let somebody else know why you are fucking with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. Also, for those of you who were asking earlier, from the last episode that I did, episode 249, I mentioned that we would have a Patreon to help support the show and possibly move the show off of Facebook. So check this out. I just found out some other shit that I didn't realize that Facebook kind of does, right? Now, y'all know I kind of play music to start the show. I do this every show. It's kind of like my mode, right? But apparently, my playing of the music at the beginning of the show prevents me from actually leaving those episodes, the video on the website. So when you go to the website, it says this video is unavailable. It won't allow me to embed it on the website. So it's another reason why we need to get this shit up off of the Facebook, right? So the Patreon is one way for you to help us do that, right? We've got 3 tiers set up on the Patreon. It's a $2 tier. And that tier is for those of you who just like, yo, man, I want to help. I want to help contribute and get y'all out. Get your shit up off the Facebook, man. It's kind of janky. And the $2, yo, you get thanked right here on the show, man. Real talk. Like, we really do appreciate everybody who does it. There's a $5 tier where you also get thanked on the show. And then you get a free coffee mug from the Spare Report Podcast Network store. And then there's the $10 level where not only do you get thanked, but then you get 30% off of anything permanently. Like, you get 30% off anything in the store. And me and my wife have been discussing like additional content, you know what I'm saying? We got to work around that, especially with the work schedule and life and everything else. It's tough doing these, right? So we gotta make it feasible for us to be able to do that. But the Patreon, I try not to make it expensive. I wanted to make it feasible for people to just be able to kind of like help out and help us move the Spam Report Podcast Network off of Facebook, go back to Crowdcast, and we don't have to deal with these problems. You know what I'm saying? Because we're dealing with a lot of issues fucking with Facebook. And I'm regretting moving this shit over to Facebook. Like, Spam, what was you thinking? Right? But yeah, man, that's one way to help support the show. Go to www.patreon.com/TSRPN. And yo, you can help. You know, help us with what we're doing here, especially for those of you who enjoy like the live shows and the interaction that you get in the chat room and everything else. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Also, go to www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. Maybe not, especially with the way Facebook has been fucking with us. You can vote in the polls over there. You can leave comments over there. You can donate to the show. You can actually access the Patreon through the website. You can visit the store over there through the website. It's a lot of different ways you can get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network, and we appreciate everybody who does it, right? So, yeah, man, that is what it is. That is what it is. So, yo, man, I've been feeling a little better. You know, I don't know if it's, the change of, like, it ain't a whole lot of shit that's been changed, real talk. I'm just, like, not as a funk as I was. Although, I will say that, like, my birthday is next week, right? Actually, my birthday is 7 days away. My birthday is next Tuesday. And I don't know if I'm really all that excited about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be 39 next week. And I don't know if it's because, like, this is, like, the last year in my 30s and shit. And I'm pushing 40. And, like, I'm at this age now where, like, you know, you can't just tell me nothing. You know, like, I got into this argument with this guy at work. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm damn near 40. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got no goddamn kids up here. Like, that kind of shit. You know a nigga old, right, when he started telling you how old he is. You know, like, motherfucker, I'm damn near 40. I got kids. You know, you ain't got no... That kind of shit? Yeah, man. Yeah, man. They're, like, all, like, you try to be, like, cool with, like the family shit. I remember when I was at home in Chicago for my grandma's 83rd birthday. And, like, some of my younger cousins and stuff, some of them just graduated college, some of them just graduated high school, and I was trying to be cool with them, and they was just like, I could tell, man, it was like, yo, Span, this time has passed. You ain't that cool cuz no more. You like this, like, that old nigga, like, that's trying to be cool. And it hurt my soul, bruh. Like, it hurt my soul. I was like, man, I ain't got it the way I used to have it, man. Like, they just, like, kind of looking at me like, why this old nigga over here? No. So yeah, man, I don't know if I'm just like wrestling with that, like, just like, yo, man, this you getting kind of old, you know what I'm saying? And then I was looking at, like, my physique and shit, like, how my body done changed over the years, man. I done put on some weight. Like, I'm sure, like, for those of you who, like, have seen the progression of the Span Report in the 9 years we've been doing this, if you look at the, like, the pictures over the last 9 years, your man Span and gained, like, a whole other span. You know what I'm saying? I walk around with a little tub. You know what I'm saying? My wife called me Tubbs every now and again. She's like, okay, big fella. Y'all heard the shit on the show. Some of y'all pointed it out. Yo, your man Span ain't really, I mean, I'm solid. You know what I'm saying? But I'm kind of squishy too in certain areas. And I mean, I need to tighten this shit up. You know, get my little summer bod and everything. I should probably lay off of these. But when we doing the show, man, these have become a part of doing the show too. I don't know. But I will tell y'all this though. This right here, nigga. Right now, I got a glass of some Crown Royal Peach and some Calypso Southern Peach Lemonade. This my drink of the summer, y'all. This right here, this is some good shit. I fucks with it heavy. Hold on. For you people that's like into the AMSR shit, hold on. Yeah, man. That's some good shit. But, Yeah, man, it ain't been a whole lot going on with your man Span this week, though, man. Like, just going back to work or whatever. I woke up this morning, like, confused as shit. I caught myself trying to watch the NBA Finals last night. Fell asleep on that. Remember I told y'all, nigga, Span be burnt out. Fell asleep on that. Woke up about 12:40 and was like, yo, I need to get my ass in the bed. And then when I got up this morning, my clock was going off. And I'm like, damn, I don't normally work on Saturdays. I don't normally work on Saturdays. What? And then I realized, nah, today ain't Saturday, nigga. It's fucking Sunday. I mean, it's Tuesday, dog. Get your ass up, go to work. You were just at work yesterday, nigga. Like, I'm all over the place. Yes, the Fluffy Span Report. Damn, Stephanie, you ain't have to call your boy out like that, though. You know what I'm saying? The Fluffy Span Report. Hey, that's actually kind of fucking funny. I mean, we might have to do that one. The Fluffy Span Report. So yeah, man. That's what it is, man. Just like a whole lot of just life and shit, man. Let's go ahead and get into the news, man. Let's get into the shits. Oh, snap. I don't want to turn that up because this shit is loud. All right. All right, so in our first story here in the news, man, we got news, some more news as a result of the When They See Us docuseries that was on Netflix. Linda Fairstein, we talked about her in episode 249, where she was forced out as a trustee at her alma mater, Vassar College. Well, she was pretty confident, very confident, in fact, that her publisher was going to stand by her side and, you know, not kick her off the roster, but apparently they had some other motherfucking ideas. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of news1.com. It says, just days after Linda Fairstein says she would not be dropped by her fantastic publisher, Penguin Random House, and its subsidiary, Dutton. Wait. Her fantastic publisher, Penguin Random House, and a subsidiary, Dutton, has dropped the former Manhattan District Attorney's Office prosecutor. Fairstein was played by Felicity Huffman and Ava DuVernay's When They See Us. She was a key figure that wrongfully locked up Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, Antron McCray, Yusef Salaam, and Corey Wise. TMZ confirms that Dutton has terminated their relationship with the crime novelist. She has written 14 books for the company since When They See Us aired. There's been an online boycott, which clearly worked. That said, her legacy, her literary agency, ICM Partners, has not made a comment. The 72-year-old told the Daily Beast on Wednesday that she had no fear of being dropped by her publisher. My publisher is fantastic, she claimed. Fairstein also attacked the film and DuVernay. It's a basket of lies, she whined. Earlier this week, DuVernay says she reached out to Fairstein and other key figures. I informed them that I was making the film and that they would be included, and invited them to sit with me and talk with me so that they could share their point of view and their side of things so that I could have that information as I wrote the script with my co-writer, she said. Linda Fairstein actually tried to negotiate. I don't know if I've told anyone this, but she tried to negotiate conditions for her to speak with me, including approvals over the script and some other things. So you know what my answer was to that, and we didn't talk. Can't roll up on the boss like that. Since Fairstein denied that she tried to control the scripts. Fairstein retired from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office in 2002, the same year that Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, Antron McCray, Yusef Salaam, and Corey Wise were exonerated, only because a fellow inmate came forward to confess. Salaam has been encouraging people to sign a petition for her books to be boycotted. The petition has over 120,000 signatures. Watch the powerful trailer. Okay, they wanted to watch the trailer for the docuseries. But yeah, man, again, the power in these stories being told in a dramatic way, right? Because Kevin Burns, I'm sorry, what's the dude's name? Was it Kevin Burns? The dude that made, like, he did the Vietnam War documentary. Ken Burns. It's not Kevin Burns. Ken Burns. He made that documentary 6 years ago, and it didn't get the same level of traction as this particular story, as Ava DuVernay has produced it. It didn't get the exact same traction as that. However, like I said on episode 249, in much the same way that the R. Kelly docuseries on Lifetime brought more attention to R. Kelly and more people were being made aware of what R. Kelly was accused of and how long he had been getting away with that sort of thing. Same thing is happening to those who are involved in the railroading and imprisonment of the Central Park Five. One of the detectives ironically just died this week too. You know what I'm saying? Like, the consequences are you can't really attribute that to this, but I'm just saying, like, you know, people who are involved in that kind of railroading are seeing those consequences. And she thought that she wasn't going to see any consequences for this. The only thing I would say though is, like, at 72, man, like, it's, I mean, she pretty much has been, like, you know, good. And she's probably going to be good, like, going forward. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she's broke or anything like that. But the fact that now the reputation that she was able to enjoy as someone who was a terrific, you know, crime novelist or whatever, she was a New York Times bestseller. She was able to kind of ride her reputation as being an advocate for women and a feminist icon, if you will. A lot of magazines are taking away like awards that they had given her. Organizations are taking away awards and recognitions that they had given her. A lot of people are retroactively, like, looking at this and saying, hey, wait a minute, this person might not have necessarily deserved the kudos that she's been getting over the course of the last 30 years. And she did this on the backs of those five now men. Right. The other part about this, too, is that I kind of wonder, and I said this in episode 249, like, I kind of wonder why, like, this didn't happen around the time where the exoneration came and when the city decided that they were going to settle with those five men for $41 million. Like, I kind of wonder why it didn't click then. But I mean, I'm not saying that we're not, you know, excuse me, happy about the consequences that are being meted out now. I just kind of wonder, like, why did it take the attention of social media and this documentary now for them to finally realize that, like, yo, man, maybe we shouldn't really be rocking with this lady in the ways in which we've been rocking with this woman for as long as we have been. So, yeah, man, Linda Fairstein has lost her publishing deal from Penguin. Sutton, what was that? Penguin Random House. So yeah, that's in the news. Another thing that's in the news, man. So Nevada is in the news, and it's some cannabis news. We've been having a lot of cannabis news here on the Span Report podcast lately. And one of the things, one of the reasons why I noticed that I'm starting to notice more and more news about weed, cannabis, CBD oils, and all these other things is because more and more states are starting to legalize it and everything. And then you get the counter arguments from, and you're seeing it a lot on like a lot of news stations I've noticed are starting to put, you know, present the counter arguments as far as intoxication and whether or not these people should be able to go to work while they're intoxicated or operate a motor vehicle. They should be regulated in much the same way that we regulate alcohol and all of these things. So you're starting to see all of these stories pop up. And so Nevada is actually joining, I believe, New York in banning employment discrimination against cannabis consumers. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of MaryJane.com. It says that Nevada had just made it harder for employers and state agencies to screw over cannabis consumers. On Wednesday, Governor Steve Sisolak signed AB 132, which bars most employers from denying jobs to cannabis consumers after drug pre-screenings. Safety-sensitive positions like cops, firefighters, doctors, and construction workers weren't included in the bill. Job candidates who can't pass drug tests became problematic after the state legalized weed in 2017. Many folks have assumed that because cannabis is legal that they can't get turned away from jobs if they fail a drug screening. But private companies haven't quite caught up to the pot reform shift, and most still follow strict anti-drug policies for applicants. Now, I told y'all, again, I think a lot of these laws won't necessarily, a lot of these companies won't necessarily change their policy until it's, you know, it becomes like kind of legalized at a federal level. Like the states can do what they want. And, you know, and there's still certain occupations where, you know, the use of cannabis can still bar you. But for the most part, man, until this is actually meted out on a federal level, I don't necessarily think that a lot of these private companies are going to get rid of this sort of regulation. It says the job candidates who can't pass drug tests become problematic. I read that part already. Yet even with AB 132's passage, getting turned down for a new job will continue to plague cannabis users in certain industries. It's still going to be a big problem because there are exclusions for unions, Madison Saglabean told Mary Jane over the phone. Saglabean is the executive director of Nevada Normal and Las Vegas Normal, and she worked with legislators to help get AB 132 passed. The unions employ a lot of people in Las Vegas, she said, and they definitely are not included in this legislation. Why the unions get to skate out of the discrimination ban is complicated, but it mainly boils down to insurance policies. Most insurance companies, especially for larger unions and corporations that operate nationwide, are subject to federal law. With marijuana still illegal at the federal level, unions worry that they may lose their insurance plans if they hire cannabis users. It goes right back to what I was saying earlier. One of AB 132's lead sponsors, Assemblywoman Dina Neal, of North Las Vegas, fought an uphill battle to get the bill to become law. Initially, there was a lot of confusion surrounding the bill's details, such as some opponents assuming the bill would let employees get stoned on the clock. Right. So, yeah, man, Nevada doing something like New York just did recently, you know, kind of barring like city employees and certain occupations from, you know, from discriminating against someone who is testing positive for THC or marijuana usage while searching for a job. So maybe more and more states will pick this up in much the same way like Republicans are like copycatting each other from all across the country when it comes to these abortion bills. Maybe more and more of these states will start picking this sort of thing up where, hey man, we're not going to necessarily we're not going to keep the those who consume weed, we're not going to keep them out of the employment pool. So yeah, that's in the news. Another thing that is in the news is YouTube, right? YouTube is in the news, and I don't know. This could be good. This could be bad. Depends on what your perspective is. Let me see if I could pull this up. I thought I had this over here. I do not. So you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to go back to my list over here. And nope, I don't have it. I'll be goddamn. But apparently YouTube, I'm not going to even read off the article, but apparently YouTube has decided that they are going to start deleting videos with quote unquote extreme viewpoints or extreme, like, you know, points of view. They're going to start deleting or banning certain types of videos. And for those who would ascribe the, you know, the freedom of speech argument, again, I will go back to the whole idea of YouTube, owned by Google, is a private entity. They don't owe you freedom of speech. They owe you to adhere to the terms and conditions that you signed up for that you probably didn't read, right? And I didn't read them either. But here's the thing, like, one of the things about social media, one of the things about the internet that I think, one of the things about this, man, is just like, it's giving everyone an opportunity to find their tribe, right? So years ago, man, before, like, you had people who had wild and crazy ideas. They thought wild and crazy shit. And for the most part, they were relegated as, like, kind of, you know, sideshows. No one really paid them much attention. People just kind of dismissed them as kind of kooks and crazy and everything else. And until the advent of the internet, those folks really had no place to kind of, like, congregate. And now with the internet, you have, you know, you had message boards, you had, you know, Reddit, you got all these different websites where people can kind of go and they have this common you know, theme, this common ideology, and they congregate there. And now, you know, it just kind of like, yo, I'm not alone. And it emboldens people because they know they're not alone. They're like, well, I'm not the only one who thinks like this. I'm not crazy. I'm not mad. Like, these other people are crazy. These other people are mad. And so with YouTube, it amplified a lot of those voices, right? So this is how, like, someone like an Alex Jones can go out there and say, like, yo, reptiles are running the world. You'd be like, before, you'd be like, man, this motherfucker's crazy. But he's got millions of people who are like, yo, man, Alex Jones got a point. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, motherfucker might be a reptile. You know, I mean, you never can tell, you know? And so, you know, YouTube has kind of given voice to those sorts of things. Like, I think, as a matter of fact, Alex Jones is one of the more prominent people that was banned off of YouTube after, you know, promoting the conspiracy theory that the Sandy Hook massacre did not happen, that those people were crisis actors, that those kids were dead, and it inspired people to harass the parents of these dead children to the point where, like, these parents of these dead children had to sue this motherfucker. And now he's admitting, like, yo, I'm playing a character, and, you know, some of the things that I'm talking about aren't necessarily real, but, you know, this is kind of what it is. But ironically, a lot of people still believe in the shit that Alex Jones is pushing out. And it's not just him. I mean, you got a whole lot of, like, Hoteps are on fucking YouTube. You know, all sorts of crazy right-wing shit is on YouTube. You got crazy left-wing shit on YouTube. It runs the gamut. And so I guess the thing that I think, like, kind of scares people is, like, well, if you're going to ban that, then what else are you going to ban, right? Now, the other part about this is that, you know, we talk about free speech, and we talk about whether or not the censorship of hate speech should be allowed. And I'm just of the mind of, like, I don't necessarily know if ignoring these things works all the time. Because when you ignore something, you allow it to kind of grow and to fester. Much like cancer, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you don't do anything about it, if you don't treat the problem, then suddenly the cancer has metastasized, has grown, and now is strangling you at your neck. And so when it comes to hate speech, what we found is hate speech also translates into hate actions. So you look at all the hate crimes that have exasperated themselves since the election of Donald Trump, since, like, 2016, like, hate crimes have grown exponentially in this country. You see much, like, there was a gay pride, like, event here in Detroit, and, like, you get neo-Nazis marching down the streets of Detroit in protest of gay pride. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on. But I'm just saying, like, you get these people who have before been ostracized and kind of marginalized and effectively marginalized because nobody was paying attention to them. But now that they are getting this attention, you got to kind of address it. You got to kind of address it. And you can address it by either de-emphasizing their voices, or you can try to address it by factual information, but some of these people are impervious to factual information. I don't necessarily know if there's what the right answer would be, but I do know that I don't necessarily believe that harmful and racist and homophobic and Islamophobic. I don't know if any of these voices should be amplified, and I don't know if they should have, like, I don't know if their platform should be elevated. And to some degree, having a YouTube page with a large following is amplifying those sorts of voices. So, yeah, with YouTube kind of going about the, you know, the business of, you know, barring them, so to speak, like, I guess the question is, at what point do you draw the line as to what's hate speech and what's free speech? You know, that's the interesting balance that I think YouTube is going to have to kind of kind of navigate. But yo, that has been our news. You know, I'm noticing some of my stories are like, they're not here in my pocket. And I wonder what the fuck's going on with that. But we're going to go to one story here that's in, wait. We go to our next segment.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. And in blue blazes, we got one story that's, for those of you who are from Detroit, you will find this funny. As a matter of fact, those of you who may not even be from Detroit, you may also find this shit funny, right? So Kwame Kilpatrick has been in jail for about eight years. He been in there for a minute, and you know, he been trying to get out of jail. He tried to get Obama to help him get out of jail. Obama just kind of like gave him the Heisman. You know, he wasn't really, you know, Kwame been kind of toxic. You know, they gave the boy 28 years, man, on some RICO shit, you know. And it's a really good podcast you guys should listen to. Crime Town on Spotify. You guys should really listen to that. I think season two was it was all about Detroit, and it goes as far back as before Coleman A. Young was the mayor of Detroit, and the criminal sort of the criminal sort of environment that goes around in Detroit politics, so to speak. And Kwame Kilpatrick apparently was a part of a long line of that. It's a really good podcast. You guys should check it out. However, Kwame Kilpatrick is trying to get out of jail, right? So guess what he does? He writes Donald Trump. And boy, does he write Donald Trump a gushing ass letter, man. I mean, low key, I just kind of feel like,
oh, brother, whoa, now. You got too much dip on your chip.
I think he went too far with this one, man. I think he went too far. I mean, I know the nigga trying to get out of jail, man. I know he trying to get out of jail, man. The nigga life is gone, man. His kids is growing up without him. His wife done left him. He ain't, like, in politics no more, man. I mean, I get it. Desperate times calls for desperate measures, right? But we're going to read this story here. This comes out of DeadlineDetroit.com. It says that ex-mayor Kwame Kilpatrick has fired off a letter to President Donald Trump profusely praising his bold presidency while asking him for a commutation to set him free. I want to first congratulate you for your overwhelming and stunning victories of your presidential campaign, and also the unprecedented success of your first 2 years in office. You have shaken up the entire world, and that is a great thing to behold. Like Kilpatrick, a lifelong Democrat, wrote in an April 16th letter obtained by Deadline Detroit, I pray for your success daily. The two-page cover letter includes a 20-page attachment in which Kilpatrick questions the Fed's case against him point by point and accuses the judge and his trial attorney of having a conflict of interest. I applaud your boldness and tenacity in confronting the traditional and sometimes deformed politics of our country. You have vociferously exposed the treacherous and calculating schemes of our media and government that have worked to crush families, communities, and even truth itself. Thank you for standing up, speaking out, and exposing this wickedness. Now, This is a guy who, when the truth was starting to come down on Kwame Kilpatrick, and like, you know, all the foul shit that he was doing was kind of like coming down on him, he went right back into like, yo, man, this is some racist shit, man. You know, they trying to take another black man down. You know, he went right into that, bro. Like, he did this one, he did the State of the City address, man, when he started talking about, I ain't never been called a nigga so much in my life. Like, he went into it. So, like, for him to be on here, like, it's kind of on brand for Kwame Kilpatrick to be on here like, yo, man, the media on some bullshit, bro. And I appreciate you because they fucking with you, too. You see what I'm saying? They fucking with you, too. But then it goes like, well, if the media is fucking with Donald Trump, was it really about taking down another brother? If you think the media is fucking with Donald Trump, or could it be that Donald Trump is out here doing some fuck shit and you was doing some fuck shit, too? And both of y'all are getting caught, only he ain't getting in trouble just yet. You know what I'm saying? His might be coming. Yours you dealing with right now. It says Kilpatrick, 48, who is serving a 28-year prison sentence for public corruption, not only questions the feds' case, but the severity of his sentence and asks for commutation. He has been in prison since being sentenced in October 2013, so he's been there nearly 6 years. A commutation will allow him to walk free, but unlike a pardon, it wouldn't clear his conviction. So, yeah, man. Kwame out here trying to get out, man. He, like I said, man, desperate times calls for desperate measures. But that shit right there, nigga, like, man, he was laying it on thick there, bro. He was laying it on thick. And I bet you Trump probably read that shit with like,
Not never.
He ain't never getting out. But flattery works with Trump, apparently. So if he like, see, that's the thing. You ain't got nothing but time in jail to like kind of think about shit and strategize. You know what I'm saying? So Kwame is probably in there like, man, this motherfucker like people to like kiss his ass, man. You know, make, you know, kiss the ring or whatnot. If I can like make this motherfucker believe that I really fucked with him on that kind of level, he might, you know, he might be crazy enough to let my ass own about this joint. I just got to get it to him, though. So yeah, that might be, you know, Kwame's, you know, that might be a part of the strategy, man. But that's in Blue Blazes. Another story that's in Blue Blazes, man, is apparently Ava DuVernay, Oprah Winfrey, and Gayle King don't want y'all out here calling them no motherfucking auntie.
It's not never, not never.
As a matter of fact, they kind of hate that shit.
Oh man, hey.
All right, so this actually comes out of Oprah Mag. So this is like the O Mag, like the legit source, right? Now, it says Ava DuVernay, Oprah, and Gayle would prefer not to be called auntie. Thank you very much. In many places around the world, from India to Africa to Hawaii, placing the title auntie or auntie before someone's name who is not your actual aunt is seen as a sign of respect. It's also common in black culture here in America. For instance, when an older black woman achieves something great on Twitter, you can expect to see plenty of tweets reading, yes, auntie so-and-so. We can all agree that it's best to be respectful of our elders. After all, in her time, Dr. Maya Angelou didn't hesitate to correct youths who called her by her first name. But in a recent interview, When They See Us director Ava DuVernay sparked a debate about whether or not calling someone who is not of a certain age auntie should be considered ageist. During a sit-down for Van Lathan's podcast, Red Pill, DuVernay admitted that she doesn't love it when she sees people call her Auntie Ava on Twitter. Auntie Ava? Why? Am I that old? She asked. For the record, the Oscar-nominated director is 46. Because I don't feel that old, and it's not a respect thing. Auntie Ava, like Aunt Jemima? We had a feeling Aunt Ava might not be the only one in her friend group to take issue with the auntie moniker, so we asked her friends Oprah and Gayle how they feel about it, and they had thoughts. I cringe at being called auntie or mama or anybody other than my nieces by anybody other than my nieces or godchildren, Oprah says, except if I'm in Africa, where it's the custom for everybody to refer to anyone older as sister or auntie, depending on the age difference. And no one refers to anyone older by their first name out of respect. Gayle added that she thinks the appropriate age to start using the title auntie for an elder is somewhere around 85. Okay. He says, I hate being called auntie. That's what you say to old people or the old lady who lives in the neighborhood, says our editor at large. I get that it's a sign of respect, but no one's calling Beyonce Auntie Beyonce. The only ones who should be calling me aunt are my niece and nephew, and they don't add the E. Okay, so here's the thing. I have no problem at all not calling these women auntie, right? That's not a term that I use a whole hell of a lot other than like my aunts and aunt, you know, my aunts, right? I never really use that for anybody else. I've seen the term used for, you know, like Maxine Waters. I remember like when Maxine Waters was being very vocal about Donald Trump and the impeachment process and trying to get Donald Trump impeached. And she goes on cable news. She does a lot of public statements, and she's very vocal about her opposition to what's going on in this current administration and in the government. And people are like, yo, she's out here being a champion for us. We appreciate the work that Maxine Waters is doing. And they kind of gave it like, yo, Auntie Maxine, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if it was like an age. I don't know if it's ageist. I don't know if it's ageist. Because, truth be told, man, you ain't necessarily got to be older than your nieces and nephews to be an auntie. You know what I'm saying? I know plenty of people who are aunties and uncles who ain't older than their nephews and nieces. I mean, that's just like the nature of the beast. Like, especially if you got, like, I mean, shit, we about to come up on a generation, man, where some of our parents were still, like, kind of, you know, they was getting it in, man. And you might have been 20. You look up and, like, now you got a little brother that's, like, 20 years younger than you. You got kids already. You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens. So I don't necessarily know if it's ageist. And I know, like, I've seen certain conversations where folks are talking about whether or not it, like, you know, de-emphasizes their desirability sexually. You know, like, if people aren't necessarily seeing them as sexually available or sexually attractive. And I don't know that either. You know what I'm saying? I get, like, you don't want people calling you. You don't want people calling you some shit that you don't really want to be called, right? I get that, and I can respect that. But it's been weird, like, kind of watching people respond to this, though. Because I've seen, like, even on my own Facebook page where I was, you know, I just kind of posted the story, and people are like, well, I got something else I can call them. And it's like, man, why do you feel like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you care? Like, if they, like they said they don't want you to call them that, then, like, I mean, it's not that hard not to call them that, you know? I don't get, like, the consternation on both sides. I don't know if I necessarily understand the consternation, but again, I mean, shit, it's not me that's going through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had people want to call me, like, yo, my name is Antoine. I've had people at work want to call me Tony because of the way my name is spelled. It's like, nah, nigga, call me Span before you call me anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll make it easier for you in that way, but you're not going to be out here just calling me some shit just because it's easier for you. You know, I like, that's the thing. Like, respect my name. Nigga, put some respect on my name, you know? But, yeah, man, I don't know if the whole argument about, you know, the whole auntie thing, I don't know, like, 85? A little old. That's a little old, you know what I'm saying? Like, we start calling them mother. You know? Like, you call that mother, like, I'm just going off the church shit now, boy. Like, when you young in the church, you know, it's like sister and brother and whatever, and then, you know, you're a deacon or you're an usher or something, but then, like, you get a certain age, It ain't sister no more. It's mother, and they're not calling nobody in the church auntie. It's like that's Mother Brown. That's Mother Henrietta. You know. So I don't know, man. It's just kind of weird watching how people kind of react to this particular story and this particular thing. Like, I know it's a sign of respect. I know a lot of people are thinking that this is a sign of respect, but if they don't want you to call them that, and you insist on calling them that and insist that, like, nah, man, I'm trying to respect you. Yeah, is it really respect if you don't respect their wishes enough to say, like, Ava, Miss Ava, Miss DuVernay, you know, like, it's really not that hard. I mean, but folks seem to think that it's kind of hard not to call them something other than what they want to be called. But yeah, man, that's in Blue Blazes. Another story that's in Blue Blazes that kind of want to talk about was the fact that, Bushwick Bill passed away this week. As a matter of fact, I believe it was yesterday that Bushwick Bill passed away at the age of 52. So for those of you who may not necessarily be aware, I know some of my listeners aren't necessarily familiar with the Ghetto Boys. I remember I used to, like, I came up listening to the Ghetto Boys. The first, like, well, no, I take that back. The first tape I ever bought was, like, Ice Cube's Death Certificate. But, like, one of my favorite groups coming up was the Ghetto Boys, Bushwick Bill, Willie D, and Scarface, right? And then, you know, later on they added Big Mike. But yeah, man, Bushwick Bill, he announced last month, and I didn't do a show last month, but I wanted to talk about it. Was, you know, he had announced that he was battling pancreatic cancer, and it was pretty advanced last month when I read the story. And so he was pretty, like, the way that the story kind of came out was, like, Bushwick was kind of at peace with the fact that, like, he wasn't going to beat it. Like, he was just, like, ready to, like, kind of facing death in that way. And if you are familiar with Bushwick Bill and his music was always kind of dark. He had a song, I believe it was on Till Death Do Us Part album, where he said he just wants to die. There was an album cover of Bushwick Bill where he shot himself in the eye, and they took the picture of him, Willie D, and Scarface in the hospital. He's on a gurney and his eye is shot out. Like, this is like how, like, this, I mean, this, you think back to it now, you're like, God damn, that was fucking terrible. But like, this is how he kind of presented. And he was true to life in a lot of ways like that. So one of the things that happened with Bushwick was the fact that, like, yo, so the announcement went out that Bushwick Bill had passed away from pancreatic cancer. And in a similar fashion, much like with John Singleton, when John Singleton passed away, like the announcement went out that John Singleton had passed away when he hadn't. And like, you know, people were already out sending their condolences all over Twitter and all over Facebook. Like, yo, man, John Singleton passed away. And it was like, damn, you know, and like, you know, people of note, you know, people in the industry were saying, yo, man, rest in peace. You know, they were reflecting on the work that he had produced, you know, the movies and how the movies made them feel and, you know, how they saw themselves in the films and in the work and, you know, the work that he inspired by in others. And you were seeing a lot more of that, and you were just seeing some of that with Bushwick. What was that, Sunday, right? And then word gets out that, yo, Bushwick isn't dead. Like, he's still battling, he's still fighting. His family put out a statement, like, but in the very same vein, like, yo, you had bandmates like Willie D and Scarface out just saying, like, you know, rest in peace to Willie, you know, to Bushwick. And you know, they were reflecting, you know, Bun B was saying, like, just reflecting on the man's work and, you know, the things that they remembered him for and whatnot. And again, like, that statement went out and they were like, nah, he's still alive, he's still fighting and everything. And it kind of irritated me a little bit. And because it was like, it's as if the internet, where a lot of folks, well, I'm not going to say a lot of folks, a lot of media outlets want to be first in a lot of shit, man. They just want to be the one, they want to be able to say that they were first ones to report this story. They broke the story. They broke this news and they just rushed this story out. They rushed these statements out. Excuse me. But they rushed these things out. And then you find out later, like, you know, they rushed it out, right? And so it's like, yo, like, could the internet stop killing people before they're dead? You know? And it's one of those things, like, because even here's the thing that's fucked up about it is that, so you would assume that someone like Scarface, someone like Bun B, someone like Willie D, you would assume that these people are close enough to Bushwick to where when they say rest in peace to Bushwick on social media, that they are privy to what's going on with Bushwick and his family. But what you end up finding out is, like, maybe they aren't as close as you believe them to be, because they got the same information that all of us got through the media. And so the thing is with them, though, them saying these sorts of things on social media kind of lends credence to the story. You know what I'm saying? It turned out later on, like maybe the next morning, that Bushwick Bill had passed away. But it's just the thing of, like, yo, man, they are the rush to be first sometimes. Oh, it could be really fucked up, man. Like, yo, this man, especially concerning someone's life, man. The internet has, like, killed so many people off before their time, man. To the point where, like, when Prince died, people was like, I'm gonna wait. You know, I'm gonna wait for a more reputable news source before I say anything. I don't know if that one's true or not. You know, so when Michael Jackson died, same thing. Like, people were just kind of like skeptical. But, like, I don't know if we got that same sort of skepticism now because of the need to be first to say it. You know what I'm saying? We want to be on our timelines and be the first on our timelines to say, hey, Bushwick Bill passed away, or hey, Michael Jackson passed away, or hey, Prince passed away. And then we find out later, to like, yo, that might not have been, you know, accurate information. The need to be first sometimes, man, it's just like, it gets the best of us. And yeah, that was just something that I was thinking about as Bushwick Bill, the rapper, former member of the Ghetto Boys rap group out of Houston, passed away from pancreatic cancer. He died at the age of 52. And yo, man, that has been Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right, but y'all know something? It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we did this, but it's time for
yeah, baby. It's sexy time with
Mr. Spain. All right. So it's sexy time with Mr. Spam, man. We got a story that's coming out of the New York Daily News. And I'm going to just say this, man. We talked about aunties and uncles and them being, you know, here sometimes after they nieces and nephews have already been here, you know. And yeah, man, apparently in New York, bro, the senior citizens are fucking getting it in, man. They out here slanging and banging, like laying it low and like spreading it wide, baby. They are out here getting they bang on. Senior citizens, man, they ain't stop. I blame Viagra and Cialis. But yeah, man. Apparently, man, they out here, they banging, they slanging, all of that. But they ain't putting on no goddamn rubbers, man.
Whoa, brother, now. You got too much dip on your chip.
Man, they got a whole lot of dip on their chip. So we're going to read the story here that comes out of NewYorkDailyNews.com. It says they're sexy, they're seniors, and they're going bareback. Oh, okay. Hold on. Let's set the mood, man. We got to set the mood right. Hold on. Yeah, baby. Because truth be told, man, although this is my jam, this is above me, man. I wasn't gleaming my daddy's eye when this shit came out. But these senior citizens out here doing their thing, baby. So we gotta get it right. Let me read this story. Sex is all the rage among older New Yorkers, but most sensuous seniors don't use condoms when getting down and dirty, according to the City Health Department released Thursday. Yeah, man. 37% of city residents 65 years or older said they've had oral, anal, or vaginal sex in the past year, an agency survey found. Older men were twice as likely as older women to report being sexually active. Because, you know, niggas still, even at 60, listen, if a nigga gonna lie on his dick when he young, you think that stops when he old? No, man, them niggas still do it. He be like, ooh, Gertrude, man. Man, I had Gertrude in the closet last week. They ain't stop lying, bruh. Like, it's a whole lot of dudes out here doing that shit. And they old enough to be your granddaddy. Just 10% of seniors having sex that they use rubbers during that time. During the last time they got busy. Older white New Yorkers are less likely to cop to using condoms than black or Latino over 65 in the city. So it's the white ones out here taking all the risk. That's on brand. Linda Mark, 73, a retired social worker from Manhattan, said that the lack of protection troubled her. I'm surprised people don't use condoms, no matter what their age is, especially women. Everybody now knows about AIDS, she said. Yeah, this is true. Former school teacher Sharon Lucas, 71, of Brooklyn, said sex without a rubber, older men is less risky. It's not like the guys have the energy to go out looking. After a certain age, they tired. The lady got a point, but still. It says 29% of seniors who reported having anal sex in the past 12 months used a condom, according to health data. And condom use actually goes down as New Yorkers get older, data shows. Lucas didn't use protection the last time she got busy. I knew him, and I trusted him, and that was a long time ago, she said with a laugh. Just over 57% of 18 to 24-year-olds in the city use condoms, followed by a third of city residents 25 to 44, and 19% of those 45 to 64. Nearly 72% of all New Yorkers reported that they didn't use a condom the last time they had sex. Well, I mean, shit, man. Y'all out here risking it. Truth be told, you, man, I'm just saying, like, the idea of, like, senior citizens, like, really, like, still getting it on, man. Like, I don't know why I find it funny. I don't know why I'm tickled by the whole thing of, like, yo, you know, your granddaddy, like, still looking at your grandma like that. Like, you know, soon as these goddamn grandbabies get the hell on up out of here. That ass is mine, girl. I don't know if you know it, but I took that damn pill, you know, and I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Shit, my dick been hard for the last 3 hours now. Yeah, man. Senior citizens out here in New York, man, they still getting it in, but they ain't wrapping it up, man. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about this right now. You know, they should market condoms on, like, you know, senior TV. You know, like, I know, like, we see condoms, like they always market the condoms and shit, like, on MTV. If you watching shit like Teen Mom or something like that, they always got, like, some, there's the anti-smoking shit, and then there's the safe sex stuff. I mean, if you know that in that city that they not necessarily using rubbers and it's older people that, hey, man, target that advertising to those older people, man. Like, hey, man, you know, get them that KY advertisement. Like, yo, man, you know, you might be able to use this. And then the his and hers condoms, like, promote that to them. Shit, man, you can't just be promoting that to the youngins. I mean, yeah, the youngins need to know, but shit, apparently these old motherfuckers need to know too. So, yeah, man. Oh, man, that has been sexy time here at the Spare Airport.
Yeah, baby. It's sexy time with Mr. Spare.
All right. Y'all know what time it is now, though. It's some fuck shit. I'm sorry. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt. All right, that's enough of that shit. But it's proud to be an American time here on the Spanish Port Podcast, man. And our first story of proud to be an American is, let's see. We're going to go back to, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about straight pride. You dumb motherfuckers, straight pride. So as you guys may be aware of right now, June is gay pride month. And there are gay pride demonstrations going on all over the country. You know, people are celebrating being who they are, being themselves, being openly themselves after for so long not being able to be, right? And so we're going to read this story here. This comes out of thehill.com because apparently some knuckleheads, some douchebags, some knuckle-dragging-ass dudes has decided that they want to have a straight pride parade in Boston? What? Yeah, it's kind of a thing. So we're going to read the story. Like I said, this comes out of thehill.com. It says that right-wing provocateur Milo Yiannopoulos has been named the Grand Marshal for Boston Straight Pride Parade. What? Yeah, see, here's the thing. Milo Yiannopoulos, for those of you who may not necessarily be familiar, is a right-wing provocateur. He's also gay. Right. The Straight Pride Parade decided to troll the Gay Pride month and parade by having a gay grand marshal. Right. Also, kind of known for espousing some neo-Nazi sort of talking points on Breitbart. But yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. We're going to continue to read. It says, organizers announced Friday that the former Breitbart editor as the parade's grand marshal after they originally used actor Brad Pitt's name and likeness for the event. The head of Super Happy Fun America, okay, a group that advocates on behalf of the straight community, told the Boston Herald that Pitt was not super happy about the group using his name and likeness without his consent. I really like his movies, and his lawyer sent us a letter asking us to take his stuff down, but, you know, you're allowed to do satire. John Hugo, president of Super Happy Fun America, told the newspaper. The organization later named Yiannopoulos, who is openly gay, as his grand marshal for the event. I might technically be sequined and perfectly coiffed, a friend of Dorothy's, but I've spent my entire career advocating for the rights of America's most brutally repressed identity, straight people. So I know a thing or two about discrimination, Yiannopoulos said in a statement released by the group. So I'm trying to figure this out, man. I'm trying to figure this out because I've seen people I know who are upset that it's Gay Pride Month, who are who think that gay pride is somehow an infringement upon them, who wish that gay people would just go back into the closet. I've seen this. I've seen people talk about the, so check it. One of the things about people's objection to gay or the LGBTQ community, most of it is usually rooted in the Bible or some sort of religious doctrine or rite or whatever. And so I've seen permeating down my timeline, unfortunately, folks who would say like the rainbow flag, like we got to take the rainbow flag back because the rainbow flag symbolizes God promised not to destroy the earth. You know what I'm saying? And it goes back to the story of Noah and all these other things. And, you know, like they forget like that same Bible, because this is mostly black people who I'm seeing it. They forget that same Bible who told them to be obedient to their masters. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that there were slave owners who were like, yo, man, you should read Ephesians and it'll tell you how you're supposed to be obedient to me. You know, and they don't talk to you a whole hell of a lot about God's promise not to destroy the earth and the rainbow being that a symbol of that promise. They don't talk a whole hell of a lot about that. But they do tell you, hey, man, get your ass out there and get that cotton or we going to whoop your ass or take your foot or whatever. And the Bible says so. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm a little sick and tired of seeing people use their religion to hide behind, you know, to hide their bigotry behind. It's a little dated. It's a little, like, yo, it don't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, man. Just own your bigotry, man. Just own it, right? And so, there's also this sense that some people believe that gay people or the LGBTQ community are asking for special rights. Right, I've seen this a lot. They're asking for special rights. And I wanted to know, like, yo, what are they asking for that you don't necessarily have already as a straight person? Like, are they asking for, like, do you already do, like, PDAs? Like, there's a whole bunch of gay, straight people that, like, engage in, like, holding hands when they're walking around, you know, in public. No one bats an eye at that shit. Let a gay person do that and suddenly, like, everybody's like, you see them? You see them two motherfuckers over? You see them? Everybody's batting, you know, like pointing and staring and shit. If they share a kiss, they're pointing and staring and shit. Like if two straight people did that shit, nobody would bat a fucking eye. You know what I'm saying? So like, I always wonder, like when they start talking this shit about whether or not they want special rights, like they want the right to not be discriminated against. Like gay people can still be fired for being gay. They can be denied housing for being gay. Right? It should be a protected class in much the same way that race is. And like when it comes to the discrimination with of gay people, it operates in the same vein as it does with black people and brown people and whatever marginalized group you want to think about. Like the types of discrimination run along the same lines. So it's just weird, man, that people who are straight feel as though they don't have enough representation in life. So much so that y'all gonna come up with a motherfucking straight pride parade as if it's the equivalent of white people talking about why isn't there a WET? Why don't we have the White Entertainment Channel? As if you don't already have every fucking channel on TV already. It's the equivalent of that when straight people start talking about why we can't have a straight pride parade. You dumb motherfucker, you. It's stupid. It's a ridiculous argument. It's a ridiculous argument, man. But here's the thing. When it comes to the straight pride parade, it's interesting in the people with whom they choose to amplify, like the voices that they choose to amplify to promote this message. That of Milo Yiannopoulos, who, again, doesn't necessarily have the most, how should we say this, sane views of America. And I get, here's another thing too about someone like Milo Yiannopoulos. I think some of the views of Milo Yiannopoulos are so ridiculous that I don't necessarily believe that Milo Yiannopoulos believes in the shit that he says, but he can get people who really want to believe in that ideology to believe that. And because he has a platform, or he had a platform at a certain point in time, he lends credence and he leads legitimacy to that certain set of, you know, thoughts. And so it's just really, it's really weird that they chose him of all people to kind of promote this particular parade. It says the parade is a gift to anyone, male or female, black or white, gay and transgender allies too, who will stand with us and celebrate the wonder and the majesty of God's own heterosexuality. So again, it all ties back into the whole religious thing. Men, bring your most toxic selves. Women, prepare to burn your briefcases because it's great to be straight. And we're not apologizing for it anymore. At what point have you ever had to apologize for being straight? I've never had to apologize for being straight. You can apologize for being a bigot and being, you can apologize for being ignorant and refusing to educate yourself on a lot of things, but I've never had to apologize for being a straight black man. Never. That's stupid. It says Boston Straight Pride event purportedly aims to celebrate heterosexuality in a city that's said to have one of the largest LGBTQ communities in the nation. I know it's a little ironic to have a gay conservative as our icon, Hugo told the Boston Herald. The parade, which has a tentative date of August 31st, according to organizers, doesn't appear to have received a required city permit. So I know a lot of people were talking about that, too, whether or not Boston should allow for this sort of demonstration to happen. I know a lot of this stuff, it goes back to that First Amendment shit where sometimes the cities and the state, like, their hands are tied somewhat when it comes to the permits, where it's almost like a shall issue, not a may issue kind of situation. I mean, this is one of those things where, like, we're ignoring it. I don't know if you necessarily say ignoring it. You kind of hope that not enough straight people are this dumb to go to something like this in support of something like this, because they recognize that this is only another attempt at further marginalizing an already marginalized group. Like, you would hope that's the thing. Like, you know, like in the next story that I'm going to kind of talk about, I kind of hope it's like one of those situations where it's not a whole hell of a lot of straight people like on this bandwagon. Like, I hope it's just like, yo, I hope it's this. I hope that, yo, although I'm speaking about it and a lot of other people may have been speaking about this, that we've given this way more attention, or we've amplified this more in mocking it than there are actual people who adhere to this and participate. If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just hoping that, like, yo, that, like, it turns out to be like three motherfuckers at their little parade and shit, you know, and everybody kind of build this thing up. But it's only like three motherfuckers. Like, he got one little Twitter, you know, he got one Twitter account. He applied for a permit. You know, I hope it's kind of one of those things. But, yo, that's in Proud to Be an American, man. The other thing that's in Proud to Be an American, and I alluded to this earlier today, or earlier on the show, was the fact that there was actual neo-Nazis marching up and down the streets of Detroit, downtown Detroit, because that's the most safe place for y'all to be. Let's just keep it real. Y'all not about to walk up 6 Mile and fucking Schaefer. Y'all not about to walk down, you know, Mac and Bewick. Y'all are not about to walk down fucking Woodward. There's some safe places for you to do that. And downtown Detroit was the safest place for them to do that. But there's a video of this, and I'm going ahead and share this with you guys so you can check this out and watch along with me. Let me pull this up. There we go. Let's do that. So you guys can check this out here with me. All right. There we go. So check this out, y'all.
Touch any of this again, bitch, and we're gonna knock you right off your fucking bike next time.
Fuck you, faggot! All right, so that happened downtown Detroit, right there on Jefferson. One of the things that I thought was very interesting is the one that was yelling out "fuck you, faggots" on the megaphone. Looked like, look queerish. I don't know. I'm sorry if that's like, it's weird. It's weird. I don't understand it. That was weird. However, we're going to read this story here. This comes out of, what is this? This is a Grit Post. Let me pull this down though. All right. So this comes out of Grit Post. And it says that June is Pride Month when queer Americans demonstrate to honor the history, notably the riots at the Stonewall Inn in New York that ignited the modern-day gay rights movement. In Detroit, a very old threat to the Pride movement reared its head today as the rainbow flag fell under the shadow of a swastika. The nationalist socialist movement will be armed and counter-protesting the freaks, wrote Bert Colucci, the self-identified commander of the neo-Nazi NSM. On the Russian social network VK. Interesting. NSM, let's put some boots on the ground. I don't really give a damn about OPSEC or Antifa in this situation. We go in with swastikas blazing and the people don't like it, rough shit. Videos of the event Saturday show neo-Nazi protesters with police escorts marching through downtown Detroit during the Motor City Pride festivities. NSM members from across the country reportedly traveled to Detroit to take part in this anti-Pride demonstration. Now, they say members from across the country reportedly traveled to Detroit. In this particular demonstration, I counted 11 people. 11 motherfuckers. And this is the point that I was kind of making before with the other story, and that I hope it's just a handful of these goofball motherfuckers who are really just in search of attention and somebody to say, hey, look at those dumbasses over there. I kind of hope it's that situation where we're really just like, yo, we're talking about, hey, look at those dumbasses over there, but it really ain't a whole hell of a lot of them. They're in search of attention, and we're kind of giving it to them, but they're in search of attention. Somebody's paying these motherfuckers some attention. And so, it's odd that, like, again, when we start talking about, like, the connection between the nationalist socialist movement and Milo Yiannopoulos and this pushback against the LGBTQ community, and I kind of want, when I start talking to, like, black folks about their reservations about, you know, the LGBTQ community, their disdain for some black people, not everybody, but, yo, their disdain for it is like, yo, man, you do realize who you in bed with or whose talking points you are kind of, like, you know, you kind of repeating some shit from people who don't fuck with you either. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't like your kind either. If they could get rid of you, they would also. So it's just, it's weird, man. Like, kind of like just watching it. And when you notice this, like when you notice this kind of shit, it's kind of hard not to notice it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, man. And it's also a thing of, like, in this time of, you know, where we talk about being tolerant and we talk about being a more progressive nation, a more progressive people, you still got people dragging their knuckles around shit like this particular thing here, right? Let's see. And Denise is in the chat room. She says, I've never seen a straight white man being discriminated against other than at a black Greek function and he can't dance. This is true. Although, if he can dance, though, he the life of the fucking party. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how like, on the turn of a dime, it can get. Like, if a white dude can go to a black Greek fraternity, like, a black Greek party, and he can dance, shit, they might recruit his ass up in that motherfucker. You know? You know? So, yeah, that's a thing, man. That is really a thing. But, yo, that's in Proud to Be an American. And our last story in Proud to Be an American, man, is also in reference to Pride Month and America's shameful sort of representation of it. U.S. embassies have been denied permission to fly the rainbow flags from their flagpoles. All right, this comes out of WXYZDetroit.com. It says multiple U.S. embassies were denied permission by the Trump administration to fly the rainbow pride flag from their flagpoles to commemorate LGBTQ Pride Month. Two senior State Department officials told CNN Friday. It says embassies are required to get permission from the State Department when flying anything besides the American flag on their main flagpoles. At the U.S. Embassy in Berlin, which was one of the locations denied permission this year, flying the rainbow flag in the month of June had previously been simply a routine thing that happens every year, one source said. It was always accepted, the source said, adding that the embassy had asked to fly the flag just during the city's Pride Week at the end of June. But this year, an email was sent back from the state's management office saying no, denied, the source told CNN. The ambassador at that embassy, Richard Grinnell, is gay and an advocate for the LGBTQ rights around the world. He said they will hang a huge banner on the side of the embassy and host multiple events during Pride Month. NBC News was first to report the story. In a statement that reads like a most diplomatic rebuke of what seems to be a new policy, Grinnell said, "The president's recognition of Pride Month and his tweets encouraging our decriminalization campaign gives me even more pride to once again march in the Berlin Pride Parade, hang a huge banner on the side of the embassy recognizing our pride, host multiple events at the embassy and the residents, and fly the gay pride flag." So he basically told Trump, go fuck yourself with that. And I ain't mad at him. It says, when asked if Grinnell was annoyed that he had been denied permission to fly the flag from the flagpole, the State Department source replied with an emphatic yes. His take now is basically, okay, then we'll fly inside the embassy. We'll fly it from the window. We'll fly it from the balcony and everywhere else, the person said. The State Department has not responded to a request for comment. Now, again, it all kind of ties into the links of the people who are so vehemently against this, right? There's a common thread in all of this. You got Nazis who post on Russian websites who are against this, and they're marching in downtown Detroit with AR-15s and shit. Like, ain't nobody, y'all really wasn't prepared to use. Like, come on, man, what are you doing? Also, you got the straight pride parade in Boston who choose Milo Yiannopoulos, far right wing provocateur who's also gay. They use him as the grand marshal of their event to bring more attention to that. And then you got the Trump administration denying the flag, the flying of the gay pride flag, the LGBTQ pride flag, at the embassies and what have you. Man, there's a common thread in all of these things. And so when I ask black people, when you got these reservations about what's going on with the LGBTQ community, What I would ask you to do is like recognize who you standing on the side with, like recognize who you with on these issues, because these same people don't fuck with you either. They do not fuck with you either. So yeah, man, that has been Proud to Be an American. Right. It's almost time for us to get on up out of here, y'all. But of course, y'all know what it is before we leave.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right. It's our ass hat of the week time, man. And our ass hat of the week this week is none other than Brandy Murrah. I say Brandy Murrah like y'all really know who the fuck Brandy Murrah is. But the reason why Brandy Murrah is the ass hat of the week this week is because Brandy Murrah been out here doing some foul shit, y'all, man. Some real foul shit. She owns a drug testing company, right? In Alabama. And she been out here like giving out false positives and shit for a whole gang of folks, which may have been costing them jobs, custody of their children, all sorts of stuff. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of root.com. It says that investigators are scrambling to determine how many parents may have lost jobs, custody of their children, and more after the owner of an Alabama laboratory was arrested for altering the results of drug and paternity tests. AO.com reports that Ozark, Alabama police officers charged 36-year-old Brandy Murrah with with two counts of forgery after authorities received evidence that someone had forged the results of two drug tests performed by A&J Lab Collections, which is owned by Murrah. Now authorities say that the two cases might just be the tip of the iceberg, alleging that multiple drug screenings may have been changed by Murrah, who, despite all appearances to the contrary, I cannot stress enough, is only 36 years old. Hold on, man. Let me see if I can pull this up then. And let me see if y'all can take a look with your boy. So let me put this on the screen for us to both look at together. Oh, 36, huh? I'm older than her. And she looks old enough to be my mama. Okay. says Murrah had a contract with Dale County's Department of Human Resources Dependency Court to perform drugs and paternity tests on individuals involved in custody cases, but was not involved in criminal cases. The lab company was paid by the individual or reimbursed by DHR if the testee could not afford it. We have no idea at this time how many people did not get their children back because of Ms. Morrow's alleged fraudulent reports, Dale County, Alabama District Attorney Kirk Adams told the Dothan Eagle. In my opinion, all cases affected by Morrow's alleged actions must be redone in order to be fair. While this may sound like a routine case, it highlights the immunity to the scrutiny that privileges applies. In 2013, Morrow was arrested and subsequently pleaded guilty to 5 counts of credit card fraud. She was sentenced to 3 years probation, and yet somehow the woman who was actually convicted of fraud was allowed to handle sensitive screenings that determined the future of entire families. The Morrow investigation was prompted by someone's drug screening turned up positive. The person called the physician who signed the paperwork, and the doctor replied that she did not recall signing the drug test for A&J Lab Collections or Morrow. The Ozark Police Department, the Henry County Sheriff's Office, Dale County Department Attorney's District Attorney's Office, Dale County Department of Human Services, and Dale County court officials are now sifting through the dozens of tests that Morrow Company completed each month to see how many may have been altered. We anticipate a lot, and Murray is currently out on bond for $2,000. I couldn't imagine, man. I couldn't imagine like losing custody of my kid because of a false positive. Or losing an opportunity at employment and taking care of my family because of a false positive on a drug test. And, I, you know, at being black in America, man, you just kind of wonder how many of those cases were involved black people being on the wrong end of this sort of malfeasance when it comes to changing those the results of those drug tests, man. But, yeah, man, Randy Mara, ass out of the week this week here. At the Spare Report Podcast Network, yo.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
Right, man, our champ of the week this week, man. I'm sure some of you may have already seen this video. You may have seen this little boy. But I'm going to tell y'all this right now, man. This little boy brought me so many chuckles this week, man. I watched this video probably 100 damn times. It's Rodney Small, man. Rodney Small is 4 years old. And Rodney Small was on his first motherfucking airline flight, man. And his daddy was like, yo, I want to take video of his reaction of his first airline flight. Like, he probably thought he was going to catch him like during, takeoff, you know, like takeoff is the most exciting thing about flying. Like, I mean, landing is cool, you know, when it works, you know what I'm saying? It's cool. But like the takeoff is the most exciting thing. And then you just kind of like, okay, this is what it is. And then you put your headphones on, you watch a movie and everything. And then you just kind of wait till you get where you're going to go. But yo, this woman decided that she was going to put her feet up on young Rodney's armrest, and young Rodney wasn't having it, man. Young Rodney was like, yo, man, what the fuck is this? So I'm going to pull this up so you guys can watch this with me, man, because we're going to all enjoy this little boy, man. I enjoyed this boy immensely watching this video. Like I said, I've watched this thousands of times at this point. But, yo, Rodney called out this woman for putting her bare, stanky ass feet up on his armrest. So check this out, y'all.
Thank you, Caesar. Salute. I'm somebody on my
supposed to be
seen in
virtue.
I thought you had my pick and your
tell y'all this. The past few weeks been a little tough on your boy. I need them chuckles, man. I've been needing them chuckles, and I swear to God, man, I that little boy, like, checked that woman so smooth. I was so proud of that little boy. And I also appreciated the way that he was just too cute, man. Like, just you know, it's a lady. he was shocked that the woman's foot could speak, you know, like stink or something. I don't know. But, yeah, man, Rodney Small, for the chuckles he gave me this week and he gave everybody around the world, man, this video went viral. I'm sure it's got millions of views at this point. But here's the interesting thing, man. So, of course, there's not going to be uniformity in everything. And there's always going to be some people who's like, yeah, you know, there's going to be some contrary motherfuckers. And I saw some people talk about, well, he's 4 years old. He shouldn't be talking to an adult that way. His father should have been like correcting him and talking to an adult that way. Kids don't have any respect nowadays, right? And to that, I say, fuck you, right? In a time where, like, yo, we hear stories about kids being molested, kids being mistreated, and like not necessarily having anybody to go to and talk to, is because of that kind of attitude that kids are to be seen and not heard, and we don't necessarily respect a kid as a full-fledged fucking person. They're just small. Like, they still have like things that are going on with them, and like, yo, he had to remind this adult about her fucking manners, yo. Like, you had to be reminded by a child. A four-year-old knew, hey, man, you probably shouldn't be putting your fucking stinking-ass feet up on the armrest that somebody else has to sit next to. You shouldn't be doing that. A four-year-old knew this more than a goddamn grown-ass adult. So I ain't trying to hear this shit, man. Like, yo, he did the right thing. His daddy did the right thing in allowing that little boy to express himself. Hey, respect my space. Respect my space. Put your stinking-ass feet away. Now, I know he didn't say that. But damn it, if that had been my kid, that probably would have been what they said. But it is time for us to get on up out of here. But of course, before we go, I do have to remind you guys how to get in touch with us here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We will play them on the show and we will respond to you right here on the show as well. That's 313-288-0485. You can also hit us up on our email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. We will read those emails here live on the show, and we will respond to you guys here live on the show. And we really do appreciate everybody who goes about that business and sending those emails in. Feedback@thespanreport.com. Also, follow your man Span on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me. Chop it up with your man throughout the week, man. I talk a little bit more on, you know, I'll talk a little bit on there. You know, I'll be on there when I can be, you know. But yeah, man, follow your man Span, Mr_Span on Twitter and Instagram. Also, leave us a review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. 5-star reviews, preferably. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. Those are the only ones that get read here live on the show. If you leave anything less than 5 stars, we're probably not going to pay attention. You know what I'm saying? But leave those 5-star reviews. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It's one way to help the show, and it doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're messing with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, right? Also, support our Patreon. Real talk, man. This is a new effort that we're really trying to put forward, man. Like, we got to get this show up off of Facebook. It allows us to do the show live right now, but we got to move this shit from some. We got to move it someplace else. And you guys can really help us in doing that with donating to our Patreon, man. It's at www.patreon.com/TSRPN. There are 3 levels. There's a $2 level, a $5 level, and a $10 level. And for those of you who will commit to giving us any kind of monies, we really do appreciate that. And it would help go towards moving our show, our live shows, to a platform outside of Facebook, preferably Crowdcast, right? We would really like to go back to Crowdcast. So if you guys like help us along with that, in that process, it would really help the show, man. Real talk. Also, you can go to www.thespanreport.com and everything's available there. You can vote in the polls there. You can leave comments there. You can watch replays of the show, hopefully, because Facebook been on some bullshit lately and I just found this out recently. You can also donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast. And you can also go there and it'll link you right to our store at TeePublic. You can go just hit the tab that says take me to the store and you can get yourself some merch, man. Go ahead and buy yourself a T-shirt, get yourself some stickers or whatever. Every little bit helps. over here at the Spirit Report Podcast Network, and we really do appreciate everybody who does that, man. But it is time for us to get on up out of here. I got to go. It is late. I've been running my mouth for quite a while, but we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.